be justified. Nobody's ever been saved by the law, nor ever shall be. So Moses, Isaiah, and all the rest of them, they all knew that Abraham made his mistakes, but he wasn't justified. He wasn't right with God by being perfect. He was right with being God because he made friends with God. He walked with God. And that's the loveliness of Abraham. That's why I love that life of Abraham. When you read that, when you really study it, which is why I'd like to do a course on it, you have the sense of the majesty, the wonder of a man walking with God. When a man walks with God, there's a peace and a calm and a steadiness begin to impact him and those around him. There's a courage. There's a joy. There's a seriousness. There's this blend of a life that is sacrificial and willing to give up things. And you can tell I'd really like to talk about Abraham a lot. And he's towers in the Old Testament. The point is that God walks. This is one of the things you find about the Old Testament saints. Abraham walked with God. And this is the point. They walked with God. If faith was an arrival, I'm a believer, I wasn't, and now I am. I used to believe that, now I believe this. Well, that's great. Of course, it's true as a description of our faith. But really, a real conversion is a beginning of a walk with God, whereby you're listening, you're praying, and you're obeying. And that's what Abraham did. He walked with God. How do I know I'm saved? Because I've made friends with God. And I have got a relationship with God through Christ. What God revealed through the covenant with Abraham was that every human being will be justified by faith. When Paul talks about this in Romans, in Romans chapter 4, if you were here with us when we did our course on Romans, Romans chapter 4 was this question: is this a new doctrine? And Paul says, no, it isn't. Abraham was saved by trusting in God. David was. And he quotes in Romans chapter 4 these great men. The truth is, Abraham declares to us this wonderful thing: trust me, believe in me, obey me, build a relationship with me, talk to me, walk with me, reach out for me. As you do this, I will so impact your life. I will walk with you. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. I don't care whether you've been divorced once or 100 times. It doesn't make any difference whether you're whatever your sins have been, if you've been a cheat and a liar, if your life is failed, if you're in the rubbish heap. It doesn't matter what human beings do with you. I want you as a friend, says God. That's the gospel. I love you. And I'll treat you like a king or a prince or a princess. Sarah, this princess, this nobility he confers upon all those who walk with him. We are princes and princesses. We are royalty. Why? Because we dress so fine? Because we're so educated? Because we've got it all together? No, because we are friends with God. If I said to you, I'm a close friend of the Queen of England, you say, oh, how lovely. You know, it's interesting when people want to meet the Queen of England. I've never met her. I'm sure she'd like to meet me one day. But I haven't got time at the moment. When people meet the Queen of England or the President of the United States, you know, they meet. I've got a friend, he was a missionary in Cameroon, an Assemblies of God missionary, and Gordon Bialek, he was an American man, and he met Jimmy Carter. You know, you all know about Jimmy Carter, don't you? And he was president, and he was a Christian. And he shook his hand, and Jimmy Carter said to him, "What do you do?" He said, I'm a pastor. And Jimmy Carter said, "Pray for me." Now, that exchange was very unremarkable, wasn't it? But the president said it. You know, what did the Queen say to you? You know, somebody was once talking to the Queen and their mobile phone went off. And they were so embarrassed. They stood there like this and the Queen said, "I think you should answer that. It might be somebody important." But you see, that's a very ordinary thing to say, isn't it? But the Queen said it. And you think, wow, you talk with the Queen. Wow, this is amazing. But I talk with the Creator of the universe every day. He's my friend. I talk with the person who's going to judge every human being. He's my friend. I talk with the Savior of the world who shed his blood for everybody. He's my friend. And Abraham made friends with God. He got three times in the Bible, it says, "Abraham, my friend." Isn't that lovely? And it's lovely. And as you go on, you just realize this is what God wants. And he was justified by that. When we look at Abraham, you can make the study of Abraham's life is interesting on different levels, because you can see that Abraham shows this tension between the old and the new covenant, between the old system and the new, because he tried to fulfill God's requirements in his own strength. This is taken up in Galatians. When we study Galatians later on, we'll find this. It talks a lot about Abraham. But Abraham tried, first of all, to do God's will by his own strength. He had a son by Hagar called Ishmael. And that was a disaster. And no matter how big a disaster it was, always remember, God did not reject Ishmael as a person. He rejected him as a covenant son. He was not going to be the son of promise. But God did not reject Ishmael. I find that wonderful. God said, "I'll bless him." And God has blessed Ishmael. You can see that. Look at their wealth. They're blessed. I hope that one day God will open their eyes to see Jesus. That's the blessing I want them to have. But the significance of that is there is nobody whose birth disqualifies them. God doesn't say, "I don't want you, you're rubbish." Human beings say that. And I know people who've been rejected from birth by their parents. But God doesn't do that. God receives us. So, but anyway, that we're getting digressing now. But the point is, Abraham shows us a lot of lessons of the life of faith. And he shows us the steps we have to take to come to a deeper walk with God. A lot of lessons there. Abraham really lifts this whole thing of faith into the realm of relationship. And if I had the time, we'd talk about the blessings of Abraham. And it's interesting how some people get caught up on the blessings of Abraham and they think, wow, he was blessed because he was rich. Well, yeah, he was. But remember, the blessing of wealth is a curse if you don't become friends of God. Being wealthy isn't a blessing. It's what you do with the wealth. The rich man and Lazarus, which would you rather be? He had every day a palace feasting. You know, why did he go to hell, that rich man? Because he had no compassion on the poor man at his gate. Wealth increases your responsibilities